I do ask an interest in your prayers this evening for the time we'll stand before you. The other night I was posed a question about something I thought, and I said something. I want to fix this before I go forward. Over in Genesis, in the 32nd chapter, we looked at this last night. 24th verse, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him under the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. It says that he wrestled a man. Now, this was a representative of God because he goes on and says that he had prevailed with God. I do not think that was Christ. I just want to make sure that we understand that, and that that is clear, because that would be a whole passel of trips. He came, he's coming again, brethren, the second time without sin unto salvation. If you put an extra trip in there, then that wouldn't be coming the second time, and that would do harm to Scripture. And if I said that, I want to make sure that's clear, that I do not think that's Jesus Christ there, because it's more important that the truth be proclaimed than that I worry about what you may think. There is a human element to preaching, but thanks be unto God, there is a spiritual element, and we pray for his deliverance now. In the fourth chapter of Corinthians, we took a text the other night, and I must admit that I left slightly confused because that text went somewhere that I was not expecting to go, but I trust it was following the leadership of the Spirit. As I left, I was bewildered and confused, and this morning I awoke, and the Lord whispered, "Sweet peace. For who maketh thee to differ from another?" We looked at who maketh thee to differ and why he maketh thee to differ. Now, if you wasn't with us last night, the who is God and the why is because you're elect. If the Lord will bless us this evening, I want us to look at the how we are different. Over in Deuteronomy, in the sixth chapter, the first verse. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it." Brethren, the commands of God, the Word of God, is for His people. The Word of God is to be preached. The Word of God is that feed. You know, if you're going to feed the Lord's children, you need to feed them. It'd be like taking care of somebody's horse. You know, a horse will colic awfully quick. We're talking about sheep. Sheep are peculiar animals. We are peculiar people. You don't need to feed the Lord's sheep the things of the flesh, because they'll give you a bellyache. We need to feed the Lord's sheep the feed that the Lord would provide, and that is the Word of God. That's what needs to be proclaimed unto the Lord's children. This Word is for the Lord's people. Time and time again, we see this Word is for His children. Why are we His children? Because of adoption and election. But the how is what we're endeavoring to see. "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel." Now we know who Israel is. One who prevails with the Lord. Israel. There is a spiritual representation of Israel in the New Testament. When you look back, we need to pay attention to the things about Israel, because it pertains to us in a spiritual way, as in here is in a natural way. "O Israel, and observe to do it." Brethren, when the Lord gives us the command, and I'll take your minds all the way back to Wednesday night, when we looked at the foot washing portion, He says, "If I, your Lord and Master, have done this, ye also ought to." This is a command. Now, if the Lord commands us, and He tells us there's a reason that He's commanded us to do it, because we're happy if we do them. Brethren, there is a joy that God's people enjoy in obedience unto God.
Amen.
And the only way, the only proper way, for an individual to be able to take in the joy from washing the saints' feet is to partake in the joy of following the example and the command of God in baptism. It's the only way. The only way that you can do this is through this. It's the only way that takes place. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, and that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Brethren, Canaan's land flows with milk and honey. You know, Canaan's land, you know, milk and honey is a complete meal in and of itself. I think it has all the nutrients that you need in milk and honey. You've got the proteins, you've got the simple. When you look at it, it's a complete and balanced meal. That's what we need to have in the Lord's kingdom, a complete and balanced meal. We need the full counsel preached, brethren. We need those things that encourage us. We need those things that exhort us. We need those things that lift us up. And brethren, every now and then we need our toes stepped on. We need all of it to be preached. Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. Brethren, I'll tell you, we need the things pertaining to practice and order proclaimed in the house of God because we need the full meal. Amen. We need the full counsel of God proclaimed. We don't need to look at one side and not look at the other. Many times we look at all the blessings of being obedient to God, and yes, there are, but brethren, we need to understand on the other side of the coin, there's chastisement in the disobedience. We need to understand that. We look at the truths of God's Word, brethren. They're true in every sense of the word. We need a full course meal. Hear, O Israel. Let me make this comment too while we're talking about that. When we talk about eating meals, you know, my wife, I thought she was going to break my arm one day. Our little boy come home, and I was going to feed him whatever we was eating. And you know, they're not supposed to do that, and she was well aware that that's supposed to be a year before that happens. I said, you know, if you hurry up and start feeding him something solid, he'll quit crying so much about wanting something to eat. That milk doesn't last very long. Let's put some other stuff in there, and that'll hold him over for a while. But she knew he couldn't take those things. Paul actually addressed the church one time saying, you need the milk of the Word. Brother, I'm going to tell you, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow in His Word. And the way we do that is just like we grow physically. You know, the more you eat, the bigger you get. I'm living proof. The more you eat, the bigger you get. This is just common sense now. You can't eat yourself skinny no more than you can spend yourself rich. And if people understand that simple concept, the world will be a lot better place. That's free. You know, nothing charged for that. But the fact of the matter is that as we eat, we grow. When we eat, that's like my boys. I want them to grow. You know what they do? They take protein, they take their supplements, they get all the things they're supposed to need because I want to see them grow. But let me tell you something, brethren. I think it's over a bodily exercise profit little. It's profitable. Let me tell you something. Bodily exercise is profitable. But in comparison to exercise unto godliness, it's dropping the bucket. That's what he's saying. Bodily exercise profit. If you don't believe that, get your cholesterol checked and then do like you're supposed to do for a while and go get it checked again. It's profitable for you. It'll do you good. But exercise unto godliness is profitable in every aspect of your life. We'd be far better pressed if we study like we need to study. We feast on God's Word and we endeavor to grow in the grace and knowledge. And brethren, we don't need to be babes. We need to grow. We need to mature. True growth. You got all these people chasing growth by putting butts in seats. That's the only way I know to say that. I'm sorry. They think that is growth. Brethren, let me tell you something. There's true growth, and true growth is this. That we grow stronger each day. That we grow closer to the Lord. That we have a better understanding of His promises. We have a better understanding of the doctrine. That we have a sweeter desire to serve the saints. That we grow and mature in the service of God. That is growth we need.
That's right.
That growth is beneficial in godliness, and guess what? It's profitable in every aspect of our life. You want your home to be the godly home it's supposed to be? Brethren, grow in grace and knowledge. You want to be the daddy that God has called you to be? Grow in grace and knowledge. You want to be the brother, the sister? You want to be the disciple you're called to be? Eat. Eat that you might grow. Feast upon these words. That's what it's given to us for. That's why God has provided it to us. Because it's profitable. Let me tell you something else about profitable. Here's a country boy explanation of what profit is. I majored in business management in college, but here's what profit is in a nutshell. You get more out of it than you put in it. That's what profit is. If you don't believe that, just try it. Try the Lord and see if it's not true. He told him over there in Malachi, just try me. He said, I'll pour out a blessing you cannot consume. Brethren, let's try the Lord. Let's walk according to His promises. Let's get out of the boat. Let's let go of the life raft. Let's walk on the promises of God. Let's walk by faith. Let's look for His deliverance. Let's seek His guidance. And let's seek Him. He says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Somebody thinks Nike came up with that. Here it is right here. Just do it. That's what he said. Observe to do it. No excuses. Excuses are like armpits, brethren. Everybody's got two of them. They all stink. And you try to cover them up any way you want to. But the fact of the matter is, they stink. Just do the things that the Lord commands to do. He says, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily. Brethren, I want to increase mightily in the Lord while I live. Because I know that over the series of this meeting, we heard about our adversary out there, that old lion that roars to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. I want to increase mightily in the things that are beneficial to me in the spiritual kingdom. And because, brethren, we face a spiritual warfare. So we need to be feasted on these spiritual things. Hear therefore, Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We need to know that. There's other Jesuses preached today. There's other Gospels preached today, which is not another Gospel. We need to know what the Gospel is. We need to know what the good news is. We need to know and remember who it is that maketh us the difference, brethren. It's not these Jesuses of the world that want you to have a Cadillac car. It's the Jesus that God sent, the only begotten, that came that you might have everything that heaven holds to secure something for us we could not secure for ourselves. Brethren, a Cadillac car, I got news for you. They might be nice and they ride smooth. They're going to melt one day. They're going to burn up. But the Lord has a place for us that's forevermore. Oh, that's far much more precious than somebody telling me they got a Jesus that'll get you a Cadillac car. That's all fine and good, brethren. We got a Jesus that'll get you eternity. Cadillac ain't got nothing to do with eternity. Diamonds, you sisters, they're not forever either. But anyway, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Now, this is what I want to get to. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He goes on, with all thy soul, with all thy might. But I want us to focus on the heart. Because I believe that the heart is the heart of the matter here. And if I can find Jeremiah, I want to remind you of something here. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? The heart, by nature, is not a good thing. The folks will tell you lies and say, well, he's got a good heart. Well, if he's got a good heart, there's only one reason he can have a good heart. The heart is desperately wicked. I mean, desperately wicked. When we think about the fact of this heart, I want you to think about this. over in Matthew. Matthew in the 15th chapter. He's rather worried about some things, but he gives us a lesson here, and I want us to look at this. Matthew in the 15th chapter, 18th verse. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These things defile a man. These are the things that defile a man. That's what comes out of the heart. The heart by nature is not good-hearted, nor is it innocent. It is wicked. The heart by nature. And there you see some things that came out. And that makes me think over there about Galatians in the 5th chapter. Over in Galatians in the 5th chapter, it says this: For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other. Oh, well, that's sweet right there, isn't it? These two are contrary. Let me tell you something. They ain't working together. You got that? For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other. So I can assure you, if they're contrary, they are definitely not working together. So that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Remember that which came forth out of the heart. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That means what it says, brother. Well, the kingdom is under consideration. Thus talking about this kingdom. We're not going to inherit the kingdom of God doing those things. We can't inherit the kingdom of God with those things proceeding forth out of our mouth. Amen. That's having two masters. You're going to serve the spirit or the flesh. Here's what he's talking about. Now look at the difference. Because these are the fruits, if you will, of the flesh. But look over here, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. This is good news, brethren. These are good things. And I also want you to know this. Take this into consideration when you think about this fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. I saw some pears out here on the table, I suppose. I think that was pears. Whoever brought that was pears. Some pears out there on the table. If I walked by and I saw pears, I wouldn't say, whoop, one day there'll be a tree here to bear this pear. That's like somebody saying, which came first, chicken or the egg? Full-grown chicken. That's what came first. There must be a tree present before there's ever any fruit born. Fruit just doesn't up and appear by itself. It didn't come from nowhere. It comes from a tree. So in order for you to have fruit of the Spirit, fruit which comes from the Spirit, guess what you must have? The Spirit. There's your tree. You must have the tree in order to have fruit. And what is the fruit? Remember, we're talking about how we're different now. We got the who and the why, but let's get the how. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, in other words, if we have the tree, let us be fruitful. That's what he said. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let me tell you something, brother. We're called to be instant, in season, and out of season. And oh, Brother Joe, I've never seen what the traffic may look like over there at L.A. I know it's bad enough where I'm at. But you know we need to be fruitful in the traffic. You remember when the Lord came to that fig tree? It wasn't a time of figs, but he expected fruit to be on it. Okay? You're to be fruitful all the time. You're to be fruitful in season and out of season. You're to be instant in season, out of season. You're to be, and you, young brethren exercising, you learn this, it doesn't matter what the arrangements are, you better be ready to give an answer. That means in season and out of season, whether you think it's your time or not, brother, you better be prepared to give an answer. That means be instant in season, out of season. Brethren, our life, our conversation, you know what you need to be ready to give? An answer. An answer for what? The hope that lies within you in meekness and fear. You know what that takes into consideration? That you're living a life that displays a hope, that gives you a peace in the midst of all the turmoil of this land we live in. Brethren, our life ought to display the fruits. That's what he's saying. Our life should be fruitful. Now, I'm going to tell you, our life can definitely be fruitful either of the flesh or of the Spirit. Okay? Now let's go back over to Matthew. Because back over here in Matthew, we looked at that. Let's back up. Because how are we different? How are we different? 33rd verse of the 12th chapter of Matthew. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. And then he says this in the 34th verse, because this is going to tie it in right here. O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil. How does he make us different? Well, if you make the tree good, you get good fruit.
That's right.
But if the tree is evil, it cannot, brethren, produce good fruit. It's not in its nature to produce good fruit. It is not in our nature, brethren, in our heart, to produce good fruit. In our heart, by nature, is that which lifts up the flesh, that which is prideful, that which is envious, that which is idolatrous, that which is heretical. That's what this old flesh is. That's what this flesh thrives on. But brother, the Spirit don't thrive on those things. Those things beset us. Those things hinder us. Spirit don't thrive on those things. Oh, but brethren, when we walk according to the Spirit, we rejoice evermore when we see those peaceable fruits, the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the meekness and the kindness that we have one to another. So, you either make the tree good. If you make the tree good, guess what? Fruit's going to be good. Tree's evil. Fruit's going to be corrupt. Where's the fruit come from? The heart. Out of the heart proceedeth forth these things that defile a man. Now we've got a serious condition now because we're looking at a heart which is desperately wicked. Who can know it? By nature. But the good news is, brethren, the one whom we serve has made us a sweet, sweet, sweet promise. We've got a promise in God's Word over in Ezekiel in the 11th chapter. 19th verse, he says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh. This is a promise. The Lord's going to perform heart surgery, if you will. And He's going to take out a hard and stony heart, and He's going to put in a heart of flesh. He tells the same thing in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. It says, then will I, this is 25th verse, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. This is a promise. This is a promise. How does He do it? By His Spirit. By His Spirit. Now you can go back over there, and you've got two examples. And they show us how this works. This is in the Old Testament. If you go over into 1 Samuel, you'll just look at a couple of them. 1 Samuel in the 10th chapter, and let me see where I want to start. Boy, I tell you, that's the hardest thing, figuring out what to leave out. Second verse. Well, let's start the first verse. Might as well. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his herd? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin and Zelah. And they shall say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses in sorrow for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there they shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel. One carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive with their hands. And thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from a high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." That sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it? If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. You know what that is? Another man. A different kind of man. Why? Because this man has a different kind of nature. Where's this different kind of nature come from? We show that those fruits proceed forth from the heart. He said He was going to take out the hard and stony heart and put in a heart of flesh, a new heart. Look down here in the ninth verse and look at how He's going to reaffirm this in the ninth verse. "And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day." God gave him another heart. Do you understand what it takes for we who are accustomed to doing evil to do good? It takes an amazing work.
Amen.
By one who is good to make an evil, corrupt tree good so that it has the nature to bring forth good fruit. How? The heart must be changed to make the tree good. A lot of times we get kind of mixed up on this. I like over in 1 Samuel 16, you're going to find this. You know, it's when they're looking for a king, and a lot of times we do this. Have y'all ever done this? I remember the first time I met, there's a dear brother from North Mississippi, a small, frail man. One arm from polio is retracted and very small. He doesn't speak above a whisper. And you think, reckon what kind of preacher, what kind of gift that brother's got. And I'll tell you what kind he's got. It's a mighty powerful gift which come from God. But a lot of times we look on the outside and we want to see, oh, what's the stature of this man? I mean, you think about the king they wanted. I want a king whose head's above every other head. I want a big, bad dude. That way when people see him, they're scared. Now here, Samuel's been sent. Because he's fixing to have to anoint a new king. And Samuel goes and he's told. He says, Samuel's kind of scared because Saul was a big bad dude. Saul had killed a passel of folks. You understand? Saul was trained up in the art of warfare. Saul could he could wield it, a sword. He was prepared for battle. He was a big man. He was well respected. Samuel says, if Saul finds out I'm going to anoint another king, he's going to kill me. He says, you go and say that you're offering a sacrifice and call for the sons of Jesse. Now let's catch up over here. Sixth verse. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. And when it came to pass when they were come, he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. This is the biggest and best I got. Can you imagine, Jesse? Look, I want you to meet my oldest son. You imagine? Look at this big strapping feller. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. You know what he's saying? Don't look at the characteristics that make up the outward man. That's not what you look at. Don't look at those characteristics. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. You know, that's a scary thought, isn't it? You might can fool me. You might can fool the church for a little while. But you're not going to fool the Lord.
Amen.
There's some folks hid some garments in their house. They thought they could fool the Lord. It didn't happen. Look in the New Testament church. There's some brethren sold some property. And they said they was going to do one thing. And they lied and did something else. And oh, it was rough. Can you imagine? Brother struck dead right there. Wife comes, how much you sell that property for? Oh, I sold it for this amount. They said, well, the man that carried your husband is great. Well, they're here to pick you up. That's bad news. You can hide things from men. But brother, you can't hide nothing from God. He looks here. Look at what he says. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shemaiah pass by. He said, neither the Lord chosen this. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Samuel said to Jesse, are these all of them? He said, because ain't none of these is him. Are these all your boys? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Little bitty, ruddy-faced fella. But boy, he was mighty in the Lord, wasn't he? Because you know where his trust was? He showed it time and time again. It wasn't in his own self. It wasn't in his own flesh. And it wasn't in man's devices. When he went out and faced Goliath, Saul said, here, take my armor. He said, oh no, I ain't tried that. Can you imagine a little bitty fella trying to hold up? I mean, this fella's not a big fella. He's small in stature. Saul's a great big man. That would be like one of your, that'd be like John putting on my coat. Wouldn't do him much good. Little John. Wouldn't do him much good. He said, I'm not going to trust in that. I'm going to trust in the Lord. The Lord's delivered me thus far, and the Lord's going to continue to deliver me. He come and he encouraged the brethren. They were facing a formidable foe. And he says, is there not a cause? Yeah, there's a cause, brethren. There's a cause. Oh, and what a great cause it is. This little David. Lord, don't look on the outward stature, but he looks on the heart. Apparently, this brother's heart was the one that the Lord had chosen. Because this is the man who's to be anointed as king. The Lord doesn't look on the outward things. A lot of times people get caught up in that. And they say, well, you know what? If I can just be a little bit better than this guy over here, I'll make it in on the curve. That's not the way God works. Either the heart is good and it bringeth forth good fruit, or the heart is evil and it bringeth forth that which is evil. Because that which is evil cannot bring forth that which is good. What happens when we have a good heart? I love this over in Acts. Everybody, boy, I have brethren all the time tell me, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. That's good news, brethren. You need to repent and be baptized. But the repenting and being baptized is for the people who this pertains to. Look at what he says. 37th verse. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Does that sound like a heart of stone? No, you want to hear about a heart of stone? Flip on over there. Look over there in Acts in the 5th chapter. When they heard that, this is the 33rd verse. It says, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Brother, I don't want my preaching to cut you to the heart and you take counsel to slay me. When the brethren was stoning Stephen to death, Stephen proclaimed the truth to them. And you know what the truth did to them? It cut them to the heart. Now, brother, I want you to think about this. The gospel's been proclaimed. You got people in this world that would say, you know how you save a soul to heaven and immortal glory? You preach the gospel to them. And if they'll believe the gospel, accept the gospel, and confess the gospel, heaven's going to be their home. Well, I want you to look, brethren, that here's three places that I looked real quickly that the gospel's being proclaimed. And in one place, they were pricked in their heart and they felt convicted and they cried out, what must I do to enjoy this to the fullest degree? What must I do? What must I do to have this joy and this Holy Ghost? What must I do to get this burden off my back? Repent and be baptized. These other brethren heard the same gospel proclaimed. Same gospel. Jesus Christ, you crucified Him with wicked hands, and they took counsel to kill Him. The gospel is the same. The messengers, they're the same. How are you different? These brethren had a heart that had been tendered by the Lord. That old heart of stone had been taken out, and there had been a heart of flesh placed within there. And oh, that gospel had a sweet ring to it. Oh, that gospel had a deliverance. Why? Because there had been some circumcising. You know, we got some circumcising over in the Old Testament. We got circumcising in the New Testament. I wanted to get to this the other night. We never did. But here's where it is when we was talking about they're not all Israel, which are of Israel. Look here at the end of the second chapter of Romans. He says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. The Lord don't look on the outward things. What did He look at? The inward things, the heart. He's not one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward of the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. I thank the Lord, Brother Philip. I love him dearly, but you know what? I don't want him performing open heart surgery on me. He don't know how to do that. He might could engineer me something, but he don't know how to do that. What does it take for us to have the capacity or the ability to rejoice in the gospel? What does it take for the gospel to be good news from a far country? What does it take for that gospel to convict us of our transgressions and our iniquity? Oh, that we might cry out, that we might repent. It takes a heart of flesh. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but one inwardly, whose circumcision he is a Jew, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Brethren, do you understand there's only one that has the ability to circumcise the heart? Only one. And that is God. It's the only one. There's only one that has the ability to go in and take out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, and he don't even need to have a heart and lung machine. Isn't that amazing? He can do it while a babe nurses on his mother's pap and the mother not even know it. You know what he told Nicodemus? It happens this way. He says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, not knowing whence it cometh nor whither it goeth." And you know what he said? "So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God." But you know what, brethren? You can look outside. We're sitting in the house today, and we looked outside. Somebody said, "Look at that wind." Well, you know what? We couldn't see the wind, but boy, we sure could see the things caught up in the wind. Oh, I want to get caught up in the wind. I want to rejoice in it. I'm not saying you can catch it, brethren. Somebody thinks they got the authority and the power to wield this spirit like this wind, they need to start down there on the Gulf when them tornadoes, them hurricanes start coming in. Just walk out there on the beach and say, "Peace be still." If they got the ability to stop that wind, they've got the ability to wield the spirit. There's not a man other than the man, Christ Jesus. Because he's the one that speaks, and they said, "Man, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey his voice." Brethren, he's one that performs heart surgery on his children. And he takes out a hard and stony heart, and he puts in him a heart of flesh. And brethren, that heart makes all the difference. That heart makes all the difference. Because by that heart, I'm going to go over here to the Corinthians. I'm fixing to bring my hearts to a close, but in 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter, he says this. I love this. I heard a guy quote this and he left it right here, and boy, it just upset me some kind of awful bad. But as it is written, this is 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, 9th verse. "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." I heard a guy preach that at somebody's funeral. I said, "Man, if it just kept on reading, there's some good news in here. Just keep on going." "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." You see, you can't see these things with a man's heart. Oh, but when God takes that hard and stony heart out and He puts in a heart of flesh, and how does He do it? By the operation of the Spirit, guess what? Good things happen. There's some things revealed from a far country. There's a news that we have a hope, and that our hope is not in this life, brethren, but our hope is anchored in heaven's pure world itself. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh, brethren, when we see that, that makes all the difference in our life. As somebody said one time, that old hollow log doctrine. Let me tell you this, it was like a rabbit running through a log. When the Spirit of God works on His little child, oh, it makes a difference.
Amen.
It makes a difference in their life. Oh, it gives them a sweet hope and a peace, and there's some fruit that comes forth from the Spirit. Now, I hope they're fruitful and I hope they're faithful. There's a faith that is given, and I hope they're faithful to that faith. But I'll tell you this, brethren, there were some that we talked about the other night. In this land that we just talked about that flowed with milk and honey, oh, they never entered into it. You know why? Because of disbelief. It doesn't change the fact what their heart is. But I'm going to tell you this, it changes whether you get to taste that honey and drink that milk and rejoice with the Lord's people in His service and in His kingdom. Brethren, you can't have those things. You want the true joy and happiness that comes with being obedient unto God. We have to be obedient in every aspect. Does this gospel have a sweet ring to it? Does it touch your heart? Can you rejoice and say, "That's the gospel of my salvation. That's my Jesus. That's my hope"? Well, you ought to. You understand? You ought to follow Him in baptism. And you ought to be found washed as the saints' feet. And you ought to be found eating the milk and the honey and the manna that God sends down from on high in His kingdom in this world. That's a command, brethren. You need to do those things. Why? Because there's some good fruit. There's grapes that big. They're glorious. How are we different? He makes the tree good. He gives the tree the nature by changing the heart. You know, you can't love God. Somebody said, you just love God. Well, that's good. You know, if you love God, that's an evidence He already loved you.
That's right.
You know why we love Him? Because He first loved us. You know, fear is a pretty good motivator, but love casteth out fear. Fear is a pretty good motivator. I can move pretty quick if I'm scared, but I only move fast enough to get out of the way of whatever it is that scared me. And once it's out of the way, I'm no longer motivated. I'm serious now. You know, y'all ever run up on a snake or something out in the woods? You'll get motivated real quick for a little while to get away from it. And the minute you're out of harm's range, you're not motivated anymore. You go back to your normal pace. But you know, love can make you supersede all your fears. My wife hates a snake. You can run around the house with a picture of a snake. One of the little sisters in church, she come brought a book of snakes, and she runs Sister Jessica all over the house with a little book with pictures of snakes in it. She hates a snake. One time I was working, and I was about an hour and a half away from the house, and there was a snake out there in the backyard, and our two little boys had found it. And that little woman called me at work and says, Luke, you've got to come home now. There's a snake in the backyard, and I can't deal with it. I said, darling, I'm sorry. It'd be an hour and a half before I got there. A snake would be long gone. When I come home, they said, here's the snake. That thing was chopped up, minced up. I could have told what kind of snake he was if I had to. But you know, her love for her boys, it overcame the fear she had of that snake. When you understand the love of God, and He reveals it in your heart by His work and His Spirit, that ought to overcome every fear you got.
Amen.
I baptized a little boy one time. It was 5 years old. I know some of you people probably think, oh my goodness. Well, let me tell you something. That little boy gave answer to that body when he come and asked for a home in the church. And that little boy who was scared to be put under that water stepped down in it. It was a love that cast out the fear that he had for entering into that baptistry. Oh, that was a sweet thing for me to see, and I rejoiced in it. It makes a difference, brethren. How do you differ? Oh, He puts a new heart in you. Now, we looked at who and how and why. And I want to close with this. Over in Galatians, in the 4th chapter, in the 6th verse, He says, and because ye are sons. How do you become sons? Brethren, you become the children of God by the election of God. Because ye are sons, who maketh thee the difference? God sent forth the Spirit of His Son, this is the how, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Will you cry, Abba, Father, tonight? Can you cry, Abba, Father, tonight? If you can, it's because God has made the heart, the tree, the fruit which should proceed forth, good. Because He's the only one that can do that. When I sow corn, I get corn. But brethren, God causes us to be good and causes us who are by nature wicked and evil to bring forth sweet and peaceable fruits that are pleasant for God's little children while we live in this world. May we ever be uplifted by that. May the Lord keep us our prayer. God bless you.